Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
Listen to both sides.
The bottom line is,
I respect that we don't agree.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Just to find a voice. Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
I don't know how to put this.
Mark Cox.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, it adds excitement, doesn't it, folks?
The Mark Cox Shortlist, brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning.
We believe in the rule of law, not in violence or rioting.
The men and women of the FBI will leave no stone unturned in this investigation.
To do a snap impeachment has real consequences.
I had a very close encounter where I thought I was going to die.
I think President-elect Biden is more afraid of the people in his own party than he is of the Republicans.
Shut up about unity.
Here's the bottom line.
Here's the bottom line.
We need to get to the bottom of this.
Get to the bottom of this.
We've got to get to the bottom of this.
The bottom line on the Mark Cox Show.
That's the only way we're going to get to the bottom of this.
That's the bottom line.
Truth. You can't handle the truth.
Jeff Smith joining us this morning. Of course, a longtime friend of the show, executive director of the Missouri Workforce Housing Association these days, and former Missouri senator. Jeff, you know what? Just shut up about unity, all right? I want to hear it.
Look, man, you know, Democrats talked about unity for a long time, and Republicans didn't want to hear it. It's kind of a rich irony to see Republicans on the cusp of in the wake of a violent insurrection on our seat of governance, 100+ of whom in the U.S. House supported the effort that egged these people on, then calling for unity in the wake of that. So anyway,
so I don't know what she's talking about. I don't know who's calling for unity on the Republican side, but that's Joe Biden's he's even named his inauguration after unity, America Together. And yet today, right now, as we speak on the House of the United States floor, the floor of the Representatives, House of Representatives, impeachment proceedings are underway. They're going to vote to impeach a president who's only in office for 7 more days. How do you do that on one hand and talk about unity with the 74 million people that voted for him on the other hand?
Well, I think, you know, maybe the best way to explain how you do that is through the lens of Liz Cheney, who has unquestioned conservative credentials and a long and rich bloodline in the conservative movement. She said, and I quote, "The president of the United States summoned this mob, assembled this mob, and lit the flame of the attack. Everything that followed was his doing. None of it would have happened without the president. He could have immediately and forcefully intervened to stop it, and he did not. There's never been a greater betrayal by a president of the United States of his office. And that's why Democrats feel compelled to do this, even with 7 days, to send a message to the country, to send a message to the world that's watching us look like
that's
a banana republic last week, that we have to do something."
It is a lie, Jeff, to say that the president drew the people there and caused them to do that. Neither of those things are true. I do want to read you a quote, though. "Our election was hijacked. There is no question. Congress has a duty to hashtag protect our democracy and hashtag follow the facts." Who do you think tweeted that out? Who does it sound like? Josh Hawley or
no? I'm sure it's some Democrat in 2004 after we left Ohio.
No, Nancy Pelosi in 2017. But today, if a Republican says that, they're seditious and they need to be kicked out of Congress and they need to be put on the no-fly list.
And the other thing happened is Hillary Clinton immediately congratulated Donald Trump, did not support any of those efforts, did not call rallies to try to encourage people to march on the Capitol, did not say, I'll be marching with you, even though Trump, of course, went back to his bunker instead of marching with you all.
You have to admit the double standard there. That Pelosi could say that three years ago.
I don't admit a double standard at all, because what Democrats did in 2016 or 2004 bears almost no resemblance to what's happening this year, because Al Gore in 2000, John Kerry in 2004, and Hillary Clinton in 2016 all immediately conceded and congratulated.
Now, come on now, Professor. You know Al Gore didn't immediately concede. He fought for 35 days.
He did, because the election came down to 528 votes in a state run by the brother of his opponent, as opposed to coming down to 200,000+ votes across four states after the electors have already been certified by state legislatures in Republican states like Arizona, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, all states with Republican state legislatures.
I'm just pointing out that you said Gore conceded. He didn't concede right away. He fought for what he thought was right.
He fought in the courts, and then when the courts said that they weren't going to do the full recount, he eventually conceded. Donald Trump has not respected the decisions of 61 courts. Courts which have had some pretty damning things to say.
Please tell me that you are not on board with this effort for Josh Hawley to resign. Please tell me you're not on board with that.
I think Josh Hawley has thoroughly embarrassed himself and thoroughly embarrassed the Republican Party, as is shown by the statements that Mitch McConnell himself has made, trying to discourage Hawley from doing what he's done. I think Hawley's objection was ill-advised, demagogic, and really is ultimately not going to help him politically in the way he thought it would. But no, I'm not saying he should resign immediately for it.
Well, a lot of them are. I just wanted to double check with you. Hey, Jeff, before I let you go, I know there are legislative sessions underway down in Jeff City. You've got to be thrilled that the low-income housing tax credit program that ended up getting Eric Greitens forced out of office is back up and operating.
I am happy that Scott Fitzpatrick, who's a very conservative Republican, the state treasurer, he kind of spearheaded a compromise to change the way that the program is structured and make the program more efficient for taxpayers. So one of the things that had concerned Governor Greitens and some people who had been skeptical about the program was the quote unquote, like the price of the credits. And the pricing this year went up dramatically from what it had been in years past, really thanks to the efforts. And I was furious at him for a while because it held up the program a lot longer than it needed to be. But Treasurer Fitzpatrick helped spearhead these new reforms, and it's going to be a better deal for taxpayers. So I'm glad more people are going to get decent housing. I'm not too obsessed with who made it happen. And I'm thrilled to have worked with Cody Smith, a conservative Republican from Carthage, and Scott Fitzpatrick to get the program back online.
All right. I just want to give you a chance to comment on that, since it directly impacts what you're doing these days. So
it does, and directly impacts thousands of people across the region mostly seniors and veterans, people with special needs that'll get a decent place to live now. So Jeff, thanks for the opportunity to talk about it.
Yeah, I appreciate you giving us some time this morning. Thank you.
Good to talk to you, Mark.
Yep.
Have a great one.
We'll talk to you soon. Jeff Smith there on the bottom line, at Jeff Smith MO, if you have any complaints about, some of the stuff he disputed out there, but that's okay. I tried to correct what I could. 314-241-9797. We'll get to a quick break here. We do have Tim Fitch at the bottom of the hour, but I have time for your phone calls coming up.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Nothing like having my friend Jeff Smith on to drive a few phone calls. That's for sure. You know, Jeff doesn't hide where he's coming from. He and I have been debating politics since about 2000, since the Gore Bush election back in 2000. And you know, I don't mind coming on and arguing with him, but you know, I'm going to call him out when I think that he's wrong. Let me get to Kevin on line one real quick. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. Hey, thanks for bringing Jeff Smith on your show. I guess you got to do that for sake of balance. And I love how you go toe-to-toe with him. And again, all he's got is feelings, but not facts. But I learned something about Jeff that makes him even deserve less of my time, and that is he's a convicted felon. He spent over a year in prison. I mean, he talks about credentials of people, of Republicans. I mean, talk about a guy that lives in a glass house. I hope he stays on your show, but sometimes I think it's a waste of airtime.
Well, Kevin, thank you for calling in. I've known Jeff a long time. Jeff owns it. Mm-hmm. Jeff owns Absolutely. What he did wrong all those years ago. He admits to it. He jokes about it these days. Not that he doesn't take responsibility for it. Don't get me the wrong. Don't get that wrong.
Well, he even wrote a book. Yeah.
He wrote a book about it. Yeah. He now, lobbies for prison reform and things like that because of what he went through. No, but he and I disagree on. He's a Democrat. He was a Democrat state senator, but he's one of those people you can have on that where the conversation doesn't end in a yelling match, right? And I think it's important to understand where the other side's coming from, whether you agree with them or not. And, you know, I choose to have people on here from time to time who are going to give us that perspective. Maybe we think we know it already, but maybe we don't. I mean, Jeff Smith is not in favor of Josh Hawley's resignation like some of the crazy Democrats are, which isn't going to happen anyway. Hawley's going to keep on fighting. Don't worry about that. Let me get to Randy here on line two. Randy, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I just have a really insane idea. Excuse me. And that is, I call for a divorce between the two parties. We cannot get along. We don't have the same worldview. And I think that we need our own president. They need theirs so that we can have peace.
Well, you
I
know,
don't think we'll ever have peace otherwise.
The chasm, Randy, seems more dramatic than ever these days.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, we lost hundreds of thousands of lives in the Civil War in this country. And what it taught us is that we can live together. I don't know anybody that, although I will say, even yesterday, and I didn't get to the bite, I had a guy, a state representative in Texas, who's introducing a bill down there that would have them take a statewide vote on whether or not they would want to separate from the United States. Now, secession if eventually would be the result of that, but he described it more like the Brexit deal. He called it Texit. Where if the voters agreed to it, they would then start negotiating with the United States on how they would leave the union. I'm not saying I'm in favor of it. I'm just saying there are state legislators around the country who've actually introduced bills to that effect. And I think we can work this out, but we do have to answer serious questions about how our elections are going to be run from this day forward, because the way things stand right now, Republicans may never win another election, and the Democrats are just fine with that. That's how I look at it. That's got to be fixed. You can't have big tech and the mainstream media and the Democratic Party all aligning against 74 million Americans and expect peace or unity. That's just not going to work. 314-241-9797. Coming up, County Councilman Tim Fitch talking about the mix-up that happened last night in the St. Louis County Council and what's going to happen next. We'll be right back.
And you've ignored Councilman Fitch, I will not allow you to bully this council. You may have been a bully as the police chief, but you will not bully this council.
Wow. Lisa Clancy, the St. Louis County Council chairperson there last night, basically shutting off debate with County Councilman Tim Fitch. Accused him of being a bully. And we're going to get to Councilman Fitch on the radio here in a minute. He's as you can expect, rather busy this morning. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people have been requesting interviews with him because of what happened last night. this back and forth all started a week ago when Lisa Clancy and no doubt Sam Page and his attorney decided they needed to keep Clancy in charge of the council by being the chair so that, of course, Sam Page could continue to operate freely however he wants. Clancy has overseen that on her watch. It's really been pathetic. And the tone of the council meetings has precipitously dropped since her chairmanship started, in my opinion. So they voted last week to retain her as chair and actually voted to make Republican Ernie Trakas the vice chair of the council, even though Rochelle Walton Gray, one of the council members from North County, who got defeated in the primary way back in August, her term expired at the end of the year, but they used her to vote on this and to retain Clancy as the council chairperson. So last night, Tim Fitch tried to reverse that. Now Shalonda Webb has been sworn in and Rita Days voted along with them, and they voted to suspend the rules. And they were trying to get to a vote again on the county council chairmanship when everything got shut down. Go ahead and play cut 28, please.
As you said to me, Fitch,
you are not recognized.
You need to be able to
call. I'm going to ask our staff to mute you if you continue disrupting the meeting. Chris, I need you to use the mute button at this time.
And I could just unmute it.
Yeah. So that's that's how that went last night. It was not. It was not smooth.
No, it sounded childish.
Yes.
It was rather embarrassing.
Everything is made more difficult in a Zoom environment. Let's put it that way, right? In a regular council meeting, you would have seen Lisa Clancy banging her gavel on the dais up there trying to get Tim Fitch to shut down or to back off. And, you know, Fitch was having none of it. You know, I got a message from a good friend who is a police officer who knows Tim Fitch and knows about him. And I'm sure probably worked with him years back when he was still the police chief. And, you know, what he tells me basically is he didn't within the police department. He is still very well thought of. Certainly not a bully by any stretch of the imagination, but certainly somebody, in his own words, that was still one of the most respected people to serve in the county police. So that kind of gives you an idea from the police perspective when they called Tim Fitch a bully. I believe we've got him on the phone now, so let's ask him about that himself. County Council Member Tim Fitch joining us right now. Tim, how are you?
I'm doing great, Mark.
We just played a few of the clips from the meeting last night. That disintegrated in a hurry. That was horrible.
Yeah, when you devolve to name calling, you know, I was called an obstructionist, a fool, a bully. When it turns to that, you know, they have no legal and no legitimate argument on the point. So when it turns to name calling, like we saw last night in anger, they know that they've fought as hard as they can. They've got nothing left other than to call you names. So that was pretty obvious to me.
Sure. Well, so I kind of explained the general idea of what happened a week ago when they voted with a council member who had already been technically should not still have been in office, Rochelle Walton Gray. What you were trying to do last night was vote again with the new legitimate council member, correct?
Correct. We were trying to fix a wrong that happened last week is what we were doing. Make no mistake, Sam Page owns this. He is the one that brought it on. He's the one that said, you know what, county counselor, who he appoints the county counselor, you know what you need to do? What you need to do is give us a legal opinion that says that they can't do anything. They have to accept this vote from last week, it's legal. It's legal for Rochelle Walton Gray to extend her term past 4 years, which clearly the Missouri Constitution says you cannot. So he had his attorney write this. And remember, she could be fired tomorrow by Sam Page. So she obviously values her job more than she values her ethics. So she decided to issue that legal opinion. That's really all they've hung their hat on at this point. But the county charter clearly gives the council the authority to determine the qualifications of its members. So we determined by resolution last night that the vote that they took last week did not make Lisa Clancy the chair, did not make Ernie Trakas the vice chair. They're not qualified in those positions because they allowed a person out of office to participate in that vote and really disenfranchise the voters and the people of the 4th District that Sholonda Webb was elected to represent. She had every right to participate in that leadership vote, and they said, no, we don't care what you like. We want Lisa Clancy in there because she supports Sam Page, and that's what they did last week.
You know, Tim, the stakes here really couldn't be any higher. I mean, I heard Sam Page when he took his oath of office and gave his speech talk about wanting unity, moving forward, bringing people together, and then we see an example like this. I mean, quite frankly, if Tim Fitch is the chairman of the county council, Sam Page is going to be held accountable, and that is the last thing he wants.
And actually, I wouldn't, and I'm not the chairman. Last night, I was elected to be the presiding officer. That's a temporary position. That's temporary until there's a chair and a vice chair elected, which we plan to do at our next meeting, over the objections of the county councilor and Sam Page and Lisa Clancy. We plan to do that. So what I'm serving in is a temporary role as presiding officer, which is what you do according to the charter when there's a vacancy in chair and vice chair. We've done that in the past, as a matter of fact. So this is temporary for me to be in that position. But the thing for Sam Page is he's absolutely alienated Councilwoman Webb by pulling this stunt. So he's going to have a very difficult time unless he comes to the four-member majority of the council now and tries to work with us instead of just doing what he wants. Because I always remember Lisa Clancy calling me last August, and she said, Councilman Fitch, you need to learn how to count to four. Well, I counted to four last night, and they were outvoted. So we really have to move on with the people's business, and I don't know what Sam Page plans to do, but this ball is in his court. He needs to figure out how to fix it because he's the one that created it.
Well, it's a great point. Do you consider yourself a candidate for the chairmanship if a vote comes on that?
I do not. I am supporting, and I voted last week for Rita Days to be the chair. I think she's absolutely nonpartisan. She makes decisions based on the issue and not based on party. And you can't ask for more than that.
Interesting. All right. So I don't know if she's going to cut off debate again next week. But again, you'll meet next Tuesday to continue this, correct?
She has no authority to cut off debate. Just like last night, she had no authority to cut off debate. And she told the Chris Howard, who runs the meetings, cut off Fitch's microphone. And then she had the police called on me to have me removed from the council chambers, which obviously they politely declined to do. So that's how Lisa Clancy is put together. If she's outvoted, she's willing to say, I'm going to cut off any opportunity for you to speak about it. As a matter of fact, I'll call security. I'll call the police and have you removed from the council chambers. And she has no authority to do that. One council member can't remove another one. So they better come up with some sort of solution to get on with the people's business. I think we have the solution. We announced it last night. They just need to accept it and move on.
Good point. She needs to learn to count to four. Best right. advice there. Tim Fitch, thanks so much for giving us some time this morning.
All right, Mark. Take care.
Yeah, we will talk soon. County Council Member Tim Fitch with his take on what went down last night at the St. Louis County Council. What's going to happen next week? That'll be must-watch Zoom TV. Wherever you are. Let me get to a quick break here. 314-241-9797. We're back in just a minute. Well, it's on. It's happening right now up in the U.S. Capitol. The hate-filled Democrats in this country are moving forward with this ridiculous impeachment. The debates are going on. He's got to be removed from office. They don't care at all what the president does the next 6 or 7 days. That's the least of their worries. They're only afraid that the 74 million people that voted for him this time, and maybe the number's greater than that, and we just don't know it, are going to come back and vote for him again in 4 years. Donald Trump's going to be a bigger thorn in their side when he's out of office than when he's in office. Their only opportunity to damage his brand is this ridiculous impeachment. And when they do it, what they need to understand is they're stepping on the toes of 74 plus million Americans. I think it's ill-advised, but that's just me. That's just kind of just me.
There you are. There you have it. It's going to be a long week.
Yes, it is.
I just can't believe the rhinos who are jumping on board with it. I just can't. Liz Cheney and maybe Mitch McConnell and a few others. It's disappointing.
I have a feeling there are quite a few of those people that have been waiting for the opportunity to
fire back on him.
Jump ship a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Mm. Unfortunate. So we need to just kind of focus on what we can. Like for me, it's college basketball. For Denise Schaefer, it's the St. Louis Blues.
Of course, they play tonight.
Who do the Blues play tonight?
They play the Avalanche. They'll be in Colorado tonight for their first game of the season.
What time, though?
Yeah, 9:30. It's a little late for us early risers, but hopefully I can catch at least the first period.
The unfortunate part of that for you, Denise, and for everyone who's a Blues fan, is that that's going to kind of be
the norm.
If they're on the road, that's going to be the norm this year, right?
Because we're in the West Division, so we play all the California teams and Arizona and the Golden Knights. So, our game times are not going to be fantastic.
Do we have a good shot in that division?
I don't know.
Like uncharted territory here?
Well, I mean, we usually play them, mm-hmm. but we'll be playing them a lot more because you're staying within your division.
Wow.
So, yeah. Hmm.
Well, yeah, that kind of.
But it's hockey, so it doesn't,
Again.
Whee!
It just stinks for those of us on our schedule. Unfortunately, not everyone is on our schedule.
Most people can sit up and watch that at night. We've got to go to bed. If the alarm goes off at 3:30 in the morning, you have to go to bed.
And there's no point recording it because you'll see the score the next, morning, unless you can avoid it. So
right.
Which
I
can't.
Hey, did I brag to you yet that the folks at Bomarito are letting me try out another one of their fine vehicles? Yeah. It's a Cadillac XT4. It's their SUV.
What?
It's blacked out. It's beautiful. It's got sort of a tan leather interior. The sunroof goes all the way to the back. And get this. The seats will massage your back while you drive.
No way.
This is way more than just a butt warmer.
It is. It's more than a heated steering wheel. You can get a massage on your
My concern would be that I might fall asleep while driving.
I know.
it's fantastic.
It's too
that's
good
from
to
the,
be true.
The Bomarito Cadillac folks out there in St. Peter's.
Nice.
It's fantastic.
Cool. Congrats.
But I bring that up because the New York Post had a story yesterday that General Motors is unveiling a self-driving Cadillac that can fly.
It hovers, right?
Welcome it's a drone.
Okay.
Now, I don't want to be the first guy to try it out, but that's pretty cool.
One day we'll have flying cars, they said.
But it's all electric. I mean, you better make sure you got a full charge, how far you're going, right? Because that's not an easy landing, that's for sure. All right, speaking of easy landings, Kilmeade's coming up. Annie Fry in here, noon to 3. Have a great Wednesday. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com. Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.